speaking of Agatha Harkness, we now go into the next episode, which gives us our bigger reveal.
Oh, yes. And a catchy song.
It, again, just started off with these unsettling, like, references to the TV show. Because now we're in the Modern Family era, right?
Yeah, the look at the camera and tell a story era.
Yeah. Or The Office. The aside with Darcy and the Vision being in the office and I thought that was cute. Watching Paul Bettany like mug for the camera, I thought was great.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, so we get Agatha's reveal that she has been messing things up, and of course, yeah, like you said, we get the catchy song, we get the Agatha All Along.
Yeah.
We find out the ways that she's been messing with things, but...
And she killed Sparky.
And she killed Sparky. What a witch.
Yeah, that was great. I'm kind of a fan of that actress, Catherine Hahn. I've liked her in a whole bunch of other stuff, so I thought she was great in this.
Yeah, it was nice that she got the... she was elevated beyond just being, like, the sort of nosy neighbor sitcom character.
Yeah.
And I had a bunch of people that had sort of, like, this was one of the many theories that popped up that actually turned out to be true, was Agnes turned out to be Agatha Harkness.
Yeah.
Which was a nice, like, sort of way to hide her in plain sight, at least at the beginning.
Yeah.
But as we got to see, like, she was, okay, the cause of all this mischief, but there's still this underlying mystery of she didn't make this hex. So there's still something bigger than just her going on. And I think it was nice to not just have a, like, oh, I'm the villain, I did this bad thing to you, ha ha ha. It's the, I'm the villain, I've been doing these kind of bad things, but I'm just taking advantage of a larger situation that has popped up here. And we started getting hints of that really well with Wanda's confrontation with Hayward and the S.W.O.R.D. agents outside the Hex in the previous episode.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Right? Because that's when she expands the whole thing. And I thought that was a neat, way to do it, because she comes out of the field and she's in her Endgame uniform. Or not Endgame. Yeah, her Endgame.
Yeah.
She's right. In her Avengers costume. And she's got her accent back.
Yeah.
So, it was really neat. And then they expand the hex out. And I thought it was going to play around with the whole thing deteriorating. Because we had already seen like she was having a hard time having people at the outer edges of the hex actually like interacting and acting. And I was wondering if, like, having to expand it was going to sort of cause things to break down faster.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
The Modern Family, what did you think of the Modern Family take?
Oh, it was hilarious. She did a perfect Julie Bowen impression in that episode.
She really did. She captured mannerisms. She captured, like... dialect, like, intonation, and,
yeah.
I remember reading, like, the Julie Bowen actress had posted on Twitter that she was honored that, like, watching WandaVision go through all these generations of famous TV shows, that Modern Family was the one that they got to in the 2000s, so, sort of cementing their place in history.
Yeah. No, it was well done.
And then at the end of that sort of expansion of the hex, I'm jumping between the Halloween episode and the Modern Family episode a little bit, but we had Darcy has now been absorbed into it.
Yeah, she there was a circus that was created, and I laughed at the line that she wanted to be the bearded lady.
Oh, man. Yeah, I thought it was cool doing the like the circus for the military. I thought that was well done.
Yeah.
It was funny watching the helicopter like turn into a hot air balloon.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
But then this is where like I think Hayward though took that turn to just like straight villain.
Yeah.
Because it was even sort of tracking the vision. And we knew something else was up with him. But it was like this Modern Family episode where he sends in the drone strike. And or was it the episode previous? I thought it was the Modern Family episode. It's all sort of blurred together for me.
Yeah. It might have been the one before that.
But where they send in the drone strike and you're like, man, like you're just going full evil here, buddy. Never go full evil. And that's where we're following the Monica and Jimmy storyline, where like this is where I'm saying it sort of it got a little disappointing because they kept like, oh, my engineering friend. No, my engineering friend. And they had teased that Monica was getting transformed by the hex, which I thought was a nice setup for her getting powers.
Yeah.
Which we finally see in this episode, this Modern Family episode. Right?
Yep.
Because she confronts Wanda with the... with her own power. Spectrum. That was her other name.
Spectrum.
Yes. But then, of course, they didn't do anything with her.
No, that was it. Like, they had a hint of her powers, and then that was it.
She gets, like, one more thing where she makes the bullet slow down.
Yeah.
In the finale. But she gets kidnapped by Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Which, again, was the first post-credit scene in these episodes. Right?
Right?
So, you're making it more important. You're lending this sense of, like, gravity that you're not paying off on, because she doesn't show up until she's just hanging out with Quicksilver in his room and two episodes later.
Yeah.
What did you think of our flashback episode?
Fantastic. We got to see, I guess, stuff leading into Age of Ultron, and we got to see her as a kid with the Stark missile that came into their home, and we got to see some stuff that happened before Infinity War as well, like with them hanging out at the compound.
Mm-hmm. I liked the hints that they were starting to drop of, like, she had powers before she was even exposed to the Mind Stone.
That's right, because now they're talking that maybe she's the first mutant in the MCU.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of cool, of, like, this idea of, like, this awakening. Where she's like, no, I'm not a witch. Like, I didn't study any of this magic. I didn't practice any of it. And Agatha, like, not believing her. Like, no, you're a witch. Like, you're using chaos magic. You're using this very specific kind of magic. And I like it. If that's the way that they start, like, if they want Wanda to be the sort of spark of mutant powers in the MCU, it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah.
Because it will definitely change the backstory of characters like Professor X and Magneto and even like Wolverine. Like, these are all characters that their backstories predate Wanda by quite a lot. So if she is the sort of first mutant, it'll be interesting to see how they go forward with that. And as of right now, we have no mutant movies on the horizon. Like, there is no X-Men movie. I think the first one we know is going to happen is Deadpool 3.
Yeah.
But whether or not that actually exists in the MCU will be up for debate, or whether or not they just sort of continue the Foxed sort of universe to it.
I think I read somewhere that they're not planning on doing any X-Men for a while.
Well, see, here was my thing that I thought would be really cool, is if they slowly introduce the X-Men characters in other movies.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Not as a team, but, like, I think Captain Marvel would be a really good way to introduce Rogue.
Of course.
Because their stories are very tied together. And I think one of the big problems about Captain Marvel is she is overpowered. She is the strongest character in the universe. And how do you make relevant threats to her when she is so strong? And I think if they have Rogue come in and, say, drain some of that power off, it can keep her as being a strong character without being overpowered.
Yeah, it would be a great nod to that that Avengers comic where that happened, too.
Oh, yeah, the death of, what is it, the death of Captain Marvel? Or
yeah.
The death of Ms. Marvel.
I think at that time, though, she had taken all of her powers and just left her there.
Well, she left her in a coma.
Yeah.
And then Rogue basically had a permanently bonded version of all of Captain Marvel's powers.
Mm-hmm.
And now that said, it might also be a good way of, if, say, Brie Larson isn't coming back after Captain Marvel 2, well, here's the reason why. She's in a coma.
Oh, that'd be great.
I mean, before Chadwick Boseman passed away, I thought it would have been really cool if we had gotten an introduction to Storm in Black Panther 2.
And we might still, you never know.
Well, we could. It could be interesting. Actually, it'd be really cool if, because we know that, like, sort of Shuri should be taking on the role of Black Panther, if Storm is the villain of Black Panther 2.
Interesting.
But this is what I'm saying. I think there's lots of opportunities to introduce these X-Men characters as, like, secondary characters before finally launching them into a bigger story. I think what could be really interesting and would be if, like, you introduce them all in these disparate movies, and then if you do almost, like, a retelling of that giant-sized X-Men number one,
mm-hmm.
where Professor X has to go around and recruit all of these X-Men for this mission to Krakatoa, or Krakoa, I can never remember how to pronounce it. The Living Island, right? Well, because part of that is the montage at the beginning where he recruits Banshee and Colossus and Nightcrawler and Storm and Wolverine. Yeah. And it'd be neat if we had gotten these characters beforehand. I'd love to see us get, like, Wolverine maybe showing up in the She-Hulk. Where we can pay homage to that Wolverine's first appearance of him fighting the Hulk, right?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I know Chris Evans is coming back to do Captain America again.
Huh.
And it could also be a kind of neat introduction if, say, Wolverine was in this new Captain America movie, where maybe they're going to show us what Cap did for, say, the 40 years after he traveled back in time.
Yeah, even if they show more World War II stuff, because in the comics and I think in some of the cartoons, that's where they met.
Oh, yeah. So, like, there's lots of possibilities for it. It'd be nice if that's the way that they go with it. But that, again, is just me sort of throwing around my theory crafting.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Kristen Hunter, also known as Kiki, is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations. Being a geek at heart, most of her work is nerd-themed. Kristen has several lines of geeky creations, including steampunk, comic, and video game-inspired work, as well as sushi-themed jewelry. Kristen is always excited to create the perfect custom piece for any theme or occasion. Please check out her website at kikiscustomcreations.com.
Yes.
Where Hayward has now activated his own vision, the Vision, not to be confused with Vision.
Yeah, straight out of the comics from the 80s, from the old West Coast Avengers comics.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know if you remember from the 90s, the Captain America and the Avengers video game in the arcades?
I do. I remember Vision being the white Vision in that one.
Yeah, he was a playable character in that.
So, and then, of course, so the you've got Agatha and Wanda fighting, and then you get the Vision shows up and fights Vision. And the worst thing is the thought that popped in my head is, God damn it, Marvel marveled themselves, where the villain is just the good guy, only evil. Because that is this unfortunate trope that they keep falling back into of all their movies. Iron Man's villain is the Ironmonger. Cap's one villain is just Red Skull. He's just another super soldier. Hulk fights the Abomination. Ant-Man fights Yellowjacket.
Yeah.
Black Panther fights Killmonger. Marvel's terrible for just, oh, the villain is just evil version of the good guy. And I'm like, oh man, is this just gonna be Vision fights an evil Vision and Wanda fights an evil Wanda? And so I was ready to be disappointed. And I wasn't. I thought they did really good jobs with both of those sort of climax conflicts.
Yeah, correct. I mean, that wasn't the thing that bothered me about that episode. The one thing that bothered me, and maybe you know where I'm going with this, was the Quicksilver reveal.
Ah, all of that set up for a boner joke.
Yeah, hilarious.
So, yeah.
I would have taken any other explanation than that.
I think the overall explanation is one of the things about this WandaVision show was supposed to be messing with perceptions of reality, and I think the casting of Evan Peters was supposed to be this meta-commentary on messing with the audience's perceptions of reality. It just ended up being disappointing.
Yeah.
And I think when, like, the answer to your mystery is it was just some guy, you're going to annoy your audience. Like, there's no, I don't know, I guess there's no win in that reveal. It's just more of a, like, ha, I got you, don't you look stupid for thinking that this was something cool.
Oh, boy.
I enjoyed the Ship of Theseus discussion.
Right.
Between Vision and the Vision.
Yes.
I enjoyed the fact, too, that, like, the Vision sort of sparks and reawakens these memories, but doesn't just come to the rescue.
Yeah, he takes off. In the fight.
I thought it was good that he sort of flies off and he's gonna have it's gonna have larger consequences later. I was worried that it was just gonna be an easy fix. Like, oh, you're me. And here's my memories, and, oh, okay, I'm good now. I loved how Wanda defeated Agatha.
Yeah, oh, that was amazing.
I thought it was really cool. I did not see that coming at all. And it was a nice callback to how Agatha was sort of subduing her just a couple episodes prior. Yeah. I thought it was really cool. And what did you think of the reveal of the Scarlet Witch?
It was great. The costume was awesome, and I liked it.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job with it. I like seeing her sort of come into her own now, of being her own hero.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they shit on another multiverse property. The Darkhold.
That's right, yeah.
Which had appeared in, it was an entire season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, the Ghost Rider season.
Yep. Yeah. And except the book looks different.
Yeah.
And Agatha has it. And I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had existed in this sort of blurry corner of, is it canon, isn't? And I think this was just one more torpedo to the it's not canon.
I think so, too.
Which is unfortunate, because I thought they, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started off kind of poor, but when they got to the Hydra reveal, I thought it was a really good twist, and gave the series a chance to really come into its own. And it was very much tied to the MCU at that time, because that happened at the same time Winter Soldier came out.
Yeah.
But as we got further and further away from that reveal, it was more like the MCU just didn't care.
Yeah, I remember they had mentioned Thanos on one of the episodes, and then nothing happened after that. They didn't acknowledge the 5-year jump, or...
Yeah, and I think that was, again, S.H.I.E.L.D. could have been, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could have been the perfect avenue to explore that snap, right?
Yeah, of course.
Because you could be like, oh, we're, like, some of the only heroes left, or what happens if you shake up the cast and go, you know what, okay, these three actors are getting dusted, and we're going to deal with that, but, yeah. So... Well, I love what the Darkhold could bring.
Yeah.
It has ties to who will probably be the villain of the Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah.
Probably we're going to get, like, K'thon or one of those, like, elder gods. Which I think will be cool. But, yeah, it was just kind of like they went out of their way to sort of... dunk on other Marvel properties. Yeah. Now, of course, this leads into, again, what we were talking about, a Monica storyline coming, just sort of falling flat.
Yeah.
So, there was more that was supposed to be planned.
Okay.
They got hit by the COVID right as they were wrapping up. And one of the things that was supposed to happen was... Monica and the twins fighting against, of all things, Senior Scruffy.
Right, because I heard some things about him, yeah.
Yeah, so he was supposed to transform into a monster.
Yeah.
And the three of them were going to fight him. That was going to be their big action moment. And instead we sort of got the kids doing a little, like, defeating some soldiers, and that was kind of it. Darcy shows up for one line to smash an ice cream truck into headquarters.
Yeah, she was wasted in that last episode, man.
So, I'm not going to completely fault them for how that sort of landed, because I know the circumstances that they were in.
Yeah.
It was just kind of disappointing. Now, that said, again, I loved the ending for Wanda. I loved the ending for Vision. The two of them saying goodbye to each other was beautiful. It was well written. It was incredibly acted.
Yeah.
So, of the ways that the series sort of fell short, I'm okay that it was who it was, like the way that it was,
mm-hmm.
Right? The scene of them putting the kids to bed. Oh my god. I hate TV and movie shows now that I'm a father.
Same here, sir.
Do this shit. And I'm like, god damn it, I don't want to feel feelings. Because I can't imagine, like, if I just found out that, like, Kristen had been lying to me and Laurel was a figment of her imagination. Like, that would kill me. So it was the same way that, like, friggin', like, Endgame. Like, somehow all of these shows now have kids that are the exact age my daughter is. Like,
yeah.
Morgan in Endgame was 5 years old, and so was Laurel at the time. I'm like, god damn it. But so, like, they did such a good job of dealing with that, this overall story of grief and how you process grief, how you move on from it. I really loved the line of what is grief if not love persevering. And I thought that was a really good message for the overall show of, like grief is okay, but that just means that love is still there.
Yeah.
So, so Wanda gets a good resolution to her story. She now lives in a cabin in the woods. But she's Doctor Stranging with the Doctor, the Darkhold.
Yeah, her astral form was doing all sorts of crap while she was just relaxing on the porch.
Yep. So I thought that was really cool. I like that they gave us a sort of setup to potentially where she's going without being explicit.
Yeah.
Like, I am almost glad that, like, Benedict Cumberbatch didn't show up at the end and, like, I'm here to recruit you to the West Coast Avengers Initiative. Because I think too many people were expecting him to show up.
Oh, I was, for sure.
And I'm almost glad he didn't. It'll let the Multiverse of Madness almost, we'll see where it wants to stand on its own. I think it's going to have some kind of tie-in to Tweetel Ijafor's character from the first movie, running around like there are too many sorcerers.
Right.
So, and then I think they have a nice setup for where potentially the Vision can go, where he's going to be in this conflict of memories he had versus what he was built for.
Mm-hmm.
And he's supposed to show up in Multiverse of Madness, too.
I did not know that.
Paul Bettany's on the poster. His name's on the poster.
Oh, okay.
So, I think that, God, if I got, like, debated with a fake poster, but I'm pretty sure it's real.
Could be, and that movie was supposed to be out this May, had nothing been delayed.
Which would have been the perfect tie-in. It would have been just enough time for people to digest what happened in the series,
mm-hmm.
and it would have still been fresh in people's memory for going into this movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think there's definitely going to be backstory in Doctor Strange 2 that has to tie into WandaVision.
Oh, for sure.
I like the fact that they did not kill Agatha Harkness.
Yeah, I'd love to see her show up again somewhere.
I'm very glad that she didn't get put on a bus somewhere.
yeah.
Too many Marvel villains just get killed.
Oh, like 90% of them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's unfortunate. Like, it would have been cool to see Mysterio still be alive to do, like, be a part of the Sinister Six for a future Spider-Man project or...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's some Marvel villains. I don't care if they died or not. They sort of did their thing and moved on. I think Killmonger was very much somebody that I'm glad just sort of had one shot because I think he did a good job with the one appearance that he had.
Yeah.
Apparently we're going to get Blonsky back for the She-Hulk show.
That's right, yeah.
Nomination, so that should be like... I think they're starting to realize that some of their characters can be used more than they had been before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's funny because that was the same lesson that the comics had to learn.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, we could just start using some of these villains in other stories, and it lets us tell an interesting story. Like, Magneto battling the Avengers way, way back in the day was one of the first, like, crossover kind of new villain in a different story. I'll be honest, I would have loved to have seen Doctor Doom and Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been good.
I think that would have been really good. I think, so we'll see if Doctor Doom does show up, if we finally get a good Fantastic Four project. I had heard rumors that he was supposed to be the big villain leading into, like, the next Avengers movie, but... I don't think that's going to pan out.
No. Or maybe he shows up in that Armor Wars series that's coming out.
I hope he's not relegated to a series. I would like to see him on the big screen.
Yeah.
I think Dr. Doom is a big enough character that I want him to be part of something bigger.
Yeah, good point.
I think it would be really cool if the next sort of big Marvel event is Galactus.
Oh, for sure. And not a cloud.
And not a cloud. Because I think that would be a good sort of tie-in of, like, if Fantastic Four is in there, lets you bring back in, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy again.
Yeah.
You get to tie in, say, like, the Eternals, and Fantastic Four if you're doing them by that point. Captain Marvel again. Like, a lot of what we've got going on right now is very space-focused, so I think the next big villain should also be that. Though, I know Kang is supposed to be the villain of the third Ant-Man.
That's right, yeah, which could potentially tie into a Young Avengers.
Yeah, I think he seems to be a bigger villain than should be for just one movie, so it'll be interesting to see what that does.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have the one ending, another ending that sort of fell flat for a setup, because it felt like it was just supposed to be a setup for something else, is Monica's story.
Yeah.
Where, once again, we got a Skrull.
Yeah.
So do you think she's going to be, do you think she's going to Captain Marvel, or do you think she's going to Secret Invasion?
I think she's going to be in Captain Marvel, but the way they were talking, Nick Fury wants to see her. Am I right?
They never actually say.
Well, they said
he, to the sky.
Yeah, they said. Well, I took it as Nick Fury because remember at the end of Spider-Man Far From Home, Nick Fury was in space.
But remember that happens after this.
That's right. Well, we don't know how long he'd been in space though.
We don't. We do not know, and it was a fairly big space station. You have to imagine he's been working on it for a while, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, all that Far From Home stuff is after this.
I forgot. This is only a few weeks after Endgame, right?
Yep. Whereas, Far From Home is at least a couple months.
It is. Yeah, I think it's 6 months later.
Sure. So, yeah, it's... Interesting. I thought overall the series was very good.
Yeah.
I hear they've been greenlit for a second season. Not quite sure how that's going to
go. Yeah, I don't know how they would do it.
Maybe they'll do, like, internet shows.
Yeah.
They'll go through, like, oh, this is Newgrounds, into YouTube, into Twitch, into Zoom.
I'd be okay if they left it at one season.
I think so. I think it was a good story. Like, I think it was a complete story. It was a story of Wanda's grief, right?
Yeah.
And her coming back into herself as a hero. So, yeah, like, it'll sort of be a victim of its own success, I think. But we'll see where they go with it. I think it'll depend on where the story... Her story sits at the end of Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sorry, I feel like I dominated this.
No, that's good. I always like hearing your theories on things.
But yeah, overall, I thought the series was very good. I look forward to the next series. We've got Captain Falcon, Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Coming up, and they've got some, I mean, that's another, like, good villain that they're bringing back. They're bringing back Baron Zemo.
It looks like they're actually going to use him in a better way than he was used in Civil War as well.
True. And I like that actor. I would not be upset if they tried to do Thunderbolts.
Yeah. Later.
Yeah, I would love to see Thunderbolts with Citizen V and, bring back a couple other, like, sort of minor villains that people may have forgotten about. Yeah. It's harder with actors, though, right? Like, the big reveal of Thunderbolts was that they were villains and nobody knew. But I guess if you bring back all these people who played villains previously, kind of going to give the game away.
True.
It could be an interesting thing of, like, Avengers 5 or something like that, though, right? Like, where you have the remnants of the Avengers, because we're dealing with an Avengers team that's missing its core characters, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no Cap, there's no Iron Man, Thor is kicking around in space doing whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
So, it would be interesting to see almost that like, new Avengers team have to compete with the idea that there's another superhero team that wants to step up. So I wonder if we sort of already touched on that story with Mysterio in Far From Home.
Yeah, it could be.
I just happen to like the actor who they've got playing Baron Zemo, and Baron Zemo happened to be Citizen V, so.
No, I understand. That'd be cool.
Brainstorming comic storylines here.
No, I think from when we're recording this episode, I think it comes out in a week.
Yes, it should come out next week, and then it's only six episodes.
Yeah, I heard they're longer episodes than WandaVision, though.
Yeah, I have to imagine they'll probably be the sort of standard 45 to 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is good. Like, I'm happy, I'll be happy to see Sharon Carter.
Definitely.
I like, Emily...
Van Camp. Yeah, I like her. She's a good actress.
I loved her in Revenge, and
yeah.
I thought she did a very good job with the small parts that she had in the Captain America movies.
Mm.
So it's nice to see her getting a sort of larger part, and we'll see, who knows, maybe Mephisto will show up over there.
and Reed Richards.
There you go. All the theories can start coming out again.
Oh, jeez. Jeez, well, I appreciate you reviewing this with me, and I guess we'll meet up again for Winter Soldier when it's over.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I think Loki starts not too long after that.
Yeah, I'm not as up, like, excited about Loki. I don't know.
I'm not at all.
Yeah, I'm looking more forward to What If. That one.
I'm excited for Hawkeye because they're basing it partly on a story I really love from about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And he's training the new Hawkeye, who's Kate Bishop, and you got to think a young Avengers movie's coming soon.
Yeah, well, I think it's also smart of them to, because unlike the comics, we have finite ages of all these characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense to start sort of staggering these and having older actors retire so you can bring in new ones and new takes on characters.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the rumors are is that the blonde from Black Widow will be taking over the Black Widow mantle.
Yeah.
Moving forward, so that'll be kind of neat, and we still have a fairly young Spider-Man. Now, he's not got any movies up after No Way Home, but I know he's excited. He wants to.
Yeah.
He said if they ask him, he'll come back.
Oh, definitely. I can see him coming back.
So, like, how could you not? Like, you're going to be, like, you're famous for playing Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see the direction they go moving forward to introduce new characters and let other ones sort of retire. And, yeah, I'm definitely interested to see where they go with all this. Yeah, I'm excited to where it can go. I am very excited to see Spider-Man later this year.
Oh, same here. I think he's lying that Maguire and Garfield aren't in it.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think he's probably under, like, a very hush-hush kind of order.
Probably. They're probably
not really known for keeping his mouth shut.
No.
But, I mean, I want more Charlie Cox. Like, I don't care if the other two Spider-Men are in it, but put Daredevil on the big screen.
He did a fantastic job in that series.
So, I mean, I could do without the immortal Iron Fist of Kung Lao or, like, whatever, but... and I know Marvel just got back rights to The Punisher and Jessica Jones.
Yep.
So it would be interesting to see. I would actually love to see The Punisher show up in Hawkeye.
Yeah.
As a mirror to sort of the Ronin character that Hawkeye had become.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. There's lots of speculation to be had, that's for sure.
Yeah, there we go. We're doing our theories now like everyone else.
Exactly. We got to jump on this bandwagon.
Exactly.
We got to be the ones that we can point back and go, back in March, we called this. We called that the villain of Hawkeye was the Trickster. And his glue guns.
Oh, jeez. Paste Pot Pete.
Exactly.
Oh, jeez.
Kangaroo Man.
The Grizzly.
There you go. See, there's no... The Marvel should hire us.
That's right.
We've got all the ideas.
And bring an armadillo as well.
There you go. See?
Dude, well, I've got me some editing to do. Hour and a half we've chatted.
Oh my God, has it really been that long?
No commercials.
Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry, man.
That's all right. I purposely did that, actually.
Awesome. But,
well, thank you so much.
Thank you, and yeah, good night, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, Hunter, and everyone that was listening, thank you, and Hunter, we'll catch you real soon, man.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.